Blog Talk Radio.
YGP family and guests, thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Ashley Goodman, and I'll be hosting tonight's BYGP Locker Room Show. I am so happy to be speaking with Mr. Brian Calhoun tonight. Brian was a standout athlete growing up and was a legit playmaker at the college level, and then to be drafted in the 2006 in the third round by Detroit. He is currently an assistant strength coach for football at University of Pittsburgh. Now, at any time you guys want to ask Coach Calhoun any questions or you have any comments, you can call in at 310-807-5195. So we'll get Brian on the line right now. Hey, Brian, how are you? Brian, can you hear me?
Yep, I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. And thank you. I know it's late for you. It's 9:30 your time, so we're going to make this nice and sweet, short, but efficient to all these questions and helping these athletes out. Now, to get into it, tell us about, you know, your younger days, where you grew up, and how it all started for you with football.
Yeah, so I'm definitely from a military family. So my dad was in the military, he was in the Navy. So I kind of grew up, you know, kind of moved from place to place. And I actually didn't play football until my freshman year of high school. So I kind of was a late starter. Yeah, I was kind of a late starter when it came to that aspect of it. But I was fortunate enough to be in an area outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that was a very strong football background, and I was able to get in that system. And, you know, a couple of years in, I ended up playing, and I ended up actually doing pretty well, and I had a chance to go on to college and get a lot of offers for football. So I was very fortunate in that aspect.
Absolutely. So then what high school did you attend?
So I went to Oak Creek High School. It was a Division I program in southeastern Wisconsin, just south of Milwaukee. It's had tremendous success. I played for a guy named Joe Cook. He's in the Wisconsin Football Hall of Fame. The school's also had four Player of the Years. It's had four or five guys drafted in the NFL. So it was a very successful program, and I was just fortunate enough to be a part of that as well.
Absolutely. So, I mean, your first year, you just got in, you're a freshman. Were you on the JV team, or did you make it to varsity?
Yeah, so I wasn't planning on playing, and a bunch of my friends were playing, and, you know, my mom didn't want me to play, so they kind of convinced me and my mom to play. I actually started on the freshman B team, and I played a couple games there, and then, you know, one of the running backs got hurt on the JV team. They brought me up. My first carry was about 85-yard touchdown, and I think the rest is really history from there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, it goes to show you, I mean, that you had, you know, many successes within your college or within your high school career. I mean, you rushed over for 5,000 yards, scoring 82 touchdowns. You were also named Gatorade State Player of the Year, Team MVP, All-American, First Team All-State, and was also ranked, you know, nationwide 12th best running back. So you did very well, to say the least. But did with all of that success on the field, did that at any time go to your head, or, you know, did you feel like the honors and the recognition, did that somewhat kind of change you off the field, and how so?
No, I don't think so, not at all. I mean, I definitely come from humble beginnings, and my parents really, you know, instilled in me, you know, hard work and discipline and those type of things that really for me made me the type of person I am today, but also the type of player I was. I always thought that I needed to get better, always wanted to get better, and that was through work, through hard work, through dedication, through perseverance, through goal setting. And I think with that being in mind, I never settled. I never thought what I was doing was enough. So I kept striving to be better and better at what I was doing.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That right there, guys, I want you to understand that even with all the recognition, just keeping that dedication and working and striving to be better each and every day is very key. Now tell us, was academics important to your family and to yourself?
Definitely a huge part of me growing up. You know, I had an older brother that did his undergrad at Vanderbilt, did his post-grad at Columbia. Both my parents
Wow.
have masters. So it's definitely, education obviously runs in my family, and it's an important aspect of how I was raised. So not only be involved in the sports and the extracurricular activities, but also be involved and take care of business. You know, in school where I was involved in the school newspaper, I was editor of my school newspaper. I was also involved with the TV crew at school. So I was definitely involved outside of sports. I think being well-rounded in that part of my life also helped me excel on the football field as well.
Absolutely, and that's fantastic advice, you know, for our listeners and for our young athletes. Now, I understand that you had a terrific track career as well. Was there any other sport that you played besides football and track?
I was definitely part of an era where, you know, kids played a number of different sports. You know, I was involved in football and basketball, track.
Mm-hmm.
I played baseball up until my sophomore year of high school. So, you know, I was part of that thing where I feel like playing multiple sports really rounds out a kid's athletic ability. But also you learn and understand the aspect of teamwork through different things. Nowadays, kids are so specialized where I wish kids would spend more time playing different sports because that helps them reach their sport they're involved in. But I was involved in so much stuff that, you know, I'm surprised my parents were able to keep up. But I enjoyed it, and I'm glad that I did that.
Yeah, I totally agree with, you know, with the specialization on today's athletes. And you know, I grew up the same way. I played multiple sports, so I definitely agree with you on that point. Did you feel that you had a challenge between picking track or, you know, picking football and going to the next level?
Well, moving on from that, I was very clear with a lot of schools that I wanted to run track at the college level. You know, so immediately that kind of dropped some schools out of my choices, but the schools that I ended up visiting and having the chance to go to, they
mm-hmm.
were definitely okay with me doing both. And, you know, I started at Colorado, and they were very open about me running track. And then when I came back to Wisconsin, I had a lot of success winning the Big Ten title, going to nationals, running the second fastest time in school history in the 4x1. So definitely had a lot of success. I think a lot of the trends late to the football field. So I'm just fortunate enough to play for a coach like Bill Alvarez that supported what I did, and really it helped me become a better football player in the long run.
Absolutely. So you did go to Colorado. And now what was the reasoning? Did you feel that was, you know, the best spot for you that you decided to attend there?
I mean, I was very fortunate enough to be recruited by a bunch of schools, and I actually took a bunch of visits to different schools like Tennessee, Notre Dame, Purdue, Iowa, Nebraska. So I took all these visits and went to these different schools. But when I went to Colorado, that was my first time there. I really fell in love with campus, really fell in love with the coaches there. So I felt like at the time that was the best fit for me, and I would not change that for the world. You know, I had success there. Met a lot of great friends there. But after 2 years, I kind of felt like, you know, things were transitioning and it was time for me to just move on. And I moved
mm-hmm.
on to Wisconsin, and it turned out very well. And I had a great rest of career there, and it turned out well. So I'm thankful for both situations, but I think it was all in a plan that worked out, and I'm happy that way it did.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Now, can you give us some tips for our young athletes and for parents out there? What would you say when they're attending those recruiting trips? Questions, you know, that they may want to ask, some advice that you would give young players?
I think players always need to look at the institution as far as, does the school have what they're interested in majoring? Do they have the stability at the coaching position? You know, nowadays coaches obviously chance to move around. Is there stability at the coach position? Also, I think for a lot of kids, it's important to play in front of their family and friends. That's another factor. So I think there's a lot of things that go into making a college decision, but really kids need to make the best decision going forward, looking outside of just playing ball, but looking forward to after ball. Is this school and this degree going to set me up for something to be successful afterwards?
Exactly, exactly. Did you happen to have a chance to go sit in a lecture class while you were on a recruiting trip?
I did it. And obviously I was recruited, you know, a long time ago, but nowadays in the recruiting process, we bring a kid on campus. Not only do they tour the facility athletically, they also tour different on-campus festivities as far as the union and other things. But they also sit in with the kid, and they actually go sit in a class. And I think that gives the kid a pretty good perspective of how big lectures are and how the student college life is. But it gives a kid, can he see himself in the situation? I think a lot of times for guys like that, that's really helpful. And when you have that support, I think that really makes a kid feel a certain way and helps them make a decision.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you on that. Now, going back, you had mentioned just a short while that family and friends and playing in front of, you know, friends and family that raised with and everything of that nature, it's important for, you know, some to still continue to play so they can watch them. But do you think that is one of the reasons maybe that you wanted to get closer to Wisconsin, or was that not a factor for you?
For me, I think it definitely was. And when I initially decided to transfer to Colorado, I actually wanted to go and look at a couple places out of state, but my mom was very adamant about having me move back. But I think it was a good choice just because not only of the institution that Wisconsin is, but also, you know, there's a different feeling when you get a chance to play close to home, play in front of your family and friends. That's a different feeling. I think for me in my situation, it definitely worked out. But even for a lot of kids, you know, a lot of kids are being raised in environments where they might not have both parents, or they may not have a lot of family and friends, or a lot of them haven't seen them play. So being close to home and being with driving distance is important, and you also have that support not only through over the phone, but you know you get that support, you know, really face to face from your family and friends. I think that's huge in the recruiting process.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now tell us one thing, like a major adjustment that you weren't really, I guess, prepared for your first year. Now you're away from, you know, home, your family, your friends, and you're at Colorado. What was, you know, some of the things that you had to adjust to that were somewhat difficult?
I think the biggest thing for incoming students and incoming freshmen is the time management aspect, because that you go from being in an instructional environment in high school, where you go to school, you have eight classes, eight periods or whatever, and then you go home. Where in college, you can go one day without having classes, another day was having three classes, and then you have practice on top of that. So I think managing your time and understanding the priorities that you need to set and what you have in your schedule, once you can figure out that, I think your 4 or 5 years in college will really go smoothly once you have a plan of how to attack each day and each program that I have for my class.
Absolutely. Now, how did you manage that? Did you write, you know, out a list of things the night before, or how did you do that?
For me, it was a little bit different because obviously I was balancing running football, playing football, and running track. But for me, it was just I was set up on a plan of these are the classes that I have, these are the days that I have, these are the days that I have free, these are the days that I have tutoring. So really, for me, it was just writing out an entire plan, setting a calendar, and really following that plan. And once you have a plan or have a goal, then you figure out how to execute that plan and goal, then everything else kind of falls in place. And I think that's what a lot of people tend to forget, is really just having a goal, setting a plan, and try to execute that plan.
Absolutely, absolutely. Did you feel like your coach, you know, the coaching staff, or, you know, players that were above you that, you know, had gone through the process, did they help you at all mentor-wise?
Yeah, I definitely think when you come in as a freshman class, that obviously helps. But I also think you can lean on some of the older guys and vets to help you through the process. You know, you obviously have academic help. You obviously have the coaches there. So there's plenty of help to be there to help you through the process. But I also think part of the maturation phase, you got to kind of figure it out. You got to figure out what works for you. Some things may work for you, but that's different from other guys. So I think figuring that process out and growing up, you know, going from a 17-year-old senior to 18-year-old freshman, you kind of got to go through that process. And I think that part of the process helps guys grow up and dealing with sports as well. It's really good for them and understanding what it takes to be successful on and off the field.
Absolutely. That's fantastic, you know, information right there that, you know, one thing may work for you, but, you know, it may not work for your teammates. It may not work for, you know, other people. So you kind of just have to see what's going to help you guys out and how you manage your time best, you know, within that time period.
Absolutely.
Now, when you transferred with the NCAA's rulings, you had to sit out. What did you do within that 2004 year that you did, you know, did have to sit out when you transferred to Wisconsin?
For me, it was pretty easy. Obviously, I wanted to adjust to being in school back in Wisconsin, adjust to the class that I had. I wanted to really get on track as far as school, so maybe taking a little more class than normal, but I really wanted to focus in and wire in and get back on track, you know, academically, because sometimes you transfer, some classes may transfer, some classes not. So for me, it was to get back on track academically, get to know my teammates, get to know my coaches and expectations. And really, that year was for me to prove to my coaches and my teammates that I deserve to be there. So it really was a tough year, you know, mentally and physically, but I think, you know, I became a better player because of it. I became a better person because of it, and I became a better student because of it. And, you know, I'm glad that I went through that process because it made me a more focused athlete and individual in the long run.
Absolutely. And then within that year, you were also, weren't you involved with the track team? You were on the 4x100?
Yep. So when I was transferred over, that didn't count for track. So I was able to run indoor and outdoor track. Won a big championship before I won. Qualified for nationals. I expected the fastest time in the program's history. So I was still active. I was still practicing with the team. I was still doing a lot of things. But I'm just glad that I was able to do stuff and while I was still redshirting and be active and feel part of the team.
Absolutely. And that probably just helped you, you know, stay within that competitive mode while you sat out and did your, you know, time for the ruling. So that probably was to enter into the track and to, you know, have success on that level.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you then returned to the field, you had, you know, multiple success again. Not surprising, you were the second player in Big Ten history with 1,000 rushing and 500 receiving yards in one season, and became the second player in NCAA history with 1,500 yards rushing and 500 receiving yards in one season, and was named Big Ten First Team, Second Team All-American by Associated Press Sports Illustrated. Now, I mean, that says it enough that you definitely had success on the field. Did you feel at any time, you know, producing and playing at such a high level when you didn't, you know, I guess play as well as you would like, did that take a toll on you, or how did you balance out, you know, having success and then maybe not having so much success?
I think it's all a process. I think you go through different highs and lows in your career, not only personally but also in sports. And I think for me, being successful in the situation I was in Wisconsin was a process. It was a process of 4 years where I got to that point So when I got to the NFL, it was a different process. I was obviously I battled injuries, and I battled, you know, being on a team that struggled. So there's different things that you have to battle through, and sometimes things come out in your favor and it works out well, and sometimes things don't. And unfortunately, you know, I was able to be in Detroit for 4 years, but it wasn't the success I was looking for, but I was still fortunate to even get to that level. So for me, I feel like I'm blessed to even be in that position to where I was able to be there for 4 years.
Completely, I completely agree with you on that because, you know, a lot of people, they could be extraordinary athletes and just, you know, it's not their doing. They don't make it to the NFL for whatever reason that is. So I agree with you on that. Now, do you feel the process for the transition, what was harder for you, high school to college or college to pros?
I think they're both very different, and I think they're both very similar. I think as you, you know, mature from, you know, high school to college, I think that's a different type of phase because you are matured into an adult, and I think you are added to responsibilities. As you go from college to pros, I think you've already been through that process of football is what I do, and this is what I'm going to be doing for a long time. So I think that process is different. But, you know, you go from being a 21-year-old rookie dealing with, you know, 29, 30, 31-year-old grown men. So I think the processes are very similar but very different, and I think you attack them, you know, very similarly, but you also attack them different because you're dealing with a different type of situation with both of those.
And that makes complete sense that you're going to find similarities in both, but that does bring another point that I have to ask you. Now, with your transition, you know, through college and then through the pros, did you find it difficult to balance out your off-the-field activities with your on-field activities?
I don't think so. I think whenever you're in the facility and whenever you are there to work, you know, that's your main focus. And I think when any time that you're off the field and you're doing whatever you have to do, that's, you know, that's not the issue that you're focusing on. So I don't think there was ever any issue as far as focus. You know, everybody's job is to win games, and you're judged by that. If you don't win games, then obviously you're not going to play in this league very long. So I think the focus was always there, and then when it came to enjoying your time off the field, you know, we really enjoyed that time as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you feel that the NFL, when you got into that, did you feel that they prepared you well enough for, you know, the money, the like I said, the off-field activities? Do you think that they really prepare you? I'm sure you've seen the documentary about Broke and how NFL retired athletes, they're broke after, you know, 2 years of being done playing. So do you think at all that the NFL is doing enough for that?
I definitely think that they do a pretty solid job of educating players. I think really it's on the players and their responsibility to digest the information, to let it marinate, and then take from what the information they get and apply it to their lives. And I think sometimes it works and it sticks, and sometimes it doesn't. I think everybody kind of gets fooled by the misperception that everybody makes as much money as like a Peyton Manning, and that's not true. You know, those are rare cases that play as long as he has and is fortunate enough to have success like he has and makes that money. Everybody else doesn't do that. So I think it's on the player to be smart and surround himself with the right people to understand what goes into saving money and investing money and being smart with it. So after you are done with your career, you're able to live comfortably or if you want, get a job and work and be successful in that area. So I think it's on the player and that their responsibility.
That's great. That's great input from you, you know, coming from that environment and speaking to these young guys. When did you feel that you had to kind of give it some thought on, you know, what you would do after you were done playing ball? Did you already have a concept or something that you were interested in besides, you know, playing NFL?
For me, it definitely took some time. You know, it wasn't this overnight transition. You know, it took me really a good 3 to 4 years to figure out what I wanted to do and figure out whether I wanted to go into coaching or whether I wanted to do something else. So it's a process. I think everybody, you know, I think nobody ever thinks that their time is going to be now as far as when your career is over. Everybody wants to end on their terms. And then for my case, that's not how that happened. You know, my career kind of suddenly stopped. So therefore, I was scrambling to figure out instead of having a plan. So if guys have a plan to what they want to do or have, you know, a plan to what they think they want to do, then I think that helps the process. So as soon as you're done, you can execute that plan and figure out what you want to do sooner than later. But I think definitely in my case, it worked out well, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So then tell us how you got into coaching. I mean, you gave it some thought about whether or not that was your path. How did you get to University of Pittsburgh?
Definitely. The head coach here at Pitt is Paul Chris. He was the offensive coordinator at Wisconsin, and he wanted to bring me on board because we had very successful years at Wisconsin. I think he knew that I would bring a lot to the table. So therefore, you know, he asked me to come on board, and it was a no brainer. And I'm thankful to be here, and I'm glad to be here. And I think really my time here has been great, and I think I'm doing mentoring the kids and giving them the advice that they need.
Absolutely. Do you ever see yourself maybe going to the NFL and coaching?
No, I don't think so. I think college game is where it's at just because I like the mentoring aspect of it. I like getting to know the kids on a personal level and really helping them grow through a 4 to 5 year period. And I think sometimes kids need an extra mentor. They need a role model. They need somebody to push them. They need, you know, different things. And I think that in my position, through my experiences, I can help them in every aspect of that. And I think that's, you know, what I was really born to do. So I'm very thankful to be where I'm at in Pitt.
Yeah, and I can see that with the college level, you do have that mentor, you know, relationship with the athletes. I actually was coaching at UCLA and University of Nevada, so I understand exactly what you're speaking about with the interaction of young individuals and aspiring to get to the next level. But what would be the one piece of advice that looking back to your journey and everything, whatnot, going through college and then the NFL, what would be one piece of advice you would tell a young Brian Calhoun?
I definitely think stay focused on long-term, not necessarily now, but long-term. I think everybody wants, and I understand everybody wants to think about today and tomorrow, and I want to play and have all these big dreams to play in the NFL and make this money. But I think having a plan of how you see your life, whether that's playing ball, post-playing ball, and I think after you have a plan, you have a goal, and then execute your plan by the things that you want to accomplish. I think for me, I had a plan of playing ball, but I didn't prepare myself afterwards. And then it took me a while to figure that out, but I think if you have a plan, prepare for it, and then execute it in every attack every day with the mindset of I want to execute this plan. I think everybody will benefit from that.
That is fantastic. I love ending on that. Brian, thank you so much. It was short and sweet, but efficient. I love it. So thank you so much, and we will definitely have you on again and get some more advice from you and all your knowledge within the game and helping these young athletes.
Thank you. I appreciate having me on.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good one.
Thanks. You too. Guys, we hope you got a lot out of listening to Coach Calhoun and the input he gave to help you guys for your future on and off the field. We have some great things going on right now with BYGP, so please check us out at www.beforeyougopro.com for more information. And if you have not gotten our book, you definitely need to check that out. On Tuesday, guys, at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, we have a fantastic guest, Mr. Nick Harris. You definitely do not want to miss that show. This is Ashley Goodman signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP team. Stay focused and keep that drive going to accomplish those big dreams. Have a good night, guys.